Blog Talk Radio.
Tuesday to you, family. I pray that today has been blessed for you and that all is well. Give me a hot second here. Give me a hot second here. All right, amen. Okay, so on today, I want to welcome everybody out to Tuesday Night Newcomers. We are still in what is the responsibility of the community, Kingdom Community, and we stopped last week on Let me see here. I looked this up earlier. And I know I didn't close this out. Yeah. We were still dealing with the question, what is the responsibility of the community according to the scriptures? And we actually stopped, I believe, in John chapter 10 and 10. So we're going to pick it up today where we left off on last week. Excuse me. I have been busy working on this shed and waiting for the final parts to come in. They're supposed to be in by today by 8 p.m. tonight. If this truck pulls up, which I doubt that it will, but if it does, I may have to play a couple of songs while I open up this gate and let this, you know, whomever deliver this shed to my backyard. I'm going to have them to deliver it. You know, I'm going to open up. I got a double gate on one of the walls and let them just drive, you know, this kit up in there. I don't want to have to pack it or try to put it on a dolly or anything like that. It's probably 700 or 800 pounds at least. So if I have to pause, we will do that, and then I will come right back. Let us go ahead and do our statement of faith. And let me say shalom to everyone. Shalom, Sister Lorraine. Shalom, Sister Denise.
Shalom, Brother Miles.
Shalom.
Shalom. Shalom. Where is our other sister at this evening? Is she okay?
Mary. Sister Mary.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, I called her. She probably fell asleep.
Okay. All right, give her a ring for me. All right. Anyway,
all right, we'll do.
Because I know she don't be missing at all.
I know. All right.
All right, amen. All right, we'll go ahead and start our statement of faith. And I am just, this shed is kicking my butt. I think next time that I go to do one, I'm going to just let Lowe's or whoever do it. Let's see here. I kind of feel kind of discombobulated right now. Okay. Our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Verse 13 and 14. And let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise on this evening. Hallelujah. Because truly he is worthy of all the praise and all the honor and all the glory. And we just want to thank him for being our Elohim. We want to thank him for keeping us. Hallelujah. And providing for us. Hallelujah. And keeping our families safe. And we just want to give him all the glory and all the honor and all the praise on today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah and hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We just glorify you, Father, and we lift you up and we magnify your name on this evening. Man, my hands are even hurting. Good grief. The battle ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads, wherever you may be. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. Let us go to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11, and we're going to get verses 26 through 28. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 through 28. Behold, I have set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, and a curse if you, a blessing if you obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, but turn aside out of the way, which I command you this day, to go after other Elohims, which you have not known. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word, in Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen and amen. And we want to say greetings to all our online listeners, whether you are in Pal Talk, on Blog Talk, on the internet in general, wherever you may be listening at, in North America or South America, in the continent of Africa or the European theater, the Far East or in Russia. We greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved. All right. And there goes my sister Mary. Shalom, my sister. How are you?
Shalom, Brother Miles. I'm good.
Were you fighting with the pillow or something?
I was. And the pillow kind of almost won.
Amen. Amen. Nothing wrong with that.
It was about 5 o'clock when I went to sleep. I said, I'm going to wake up in a minute. It didn't happen.
Amen. Sister. Amen. I feel you.
Thank you, Sister Denise. I love you.
Amen. Yeah, I've been up since before daybreak today and was, you know, really trying to make progress in a lot of different areas. And so it's been raining kind of on and off, and I see you guys are about to go in the minus degrees.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's about to get ugly up here.
Yeah, y'all can have that. Don't want to see no parts of no negative numbers.
I know that's right.
Well, you guys make sure you stay safe. Don't go out unless you have to.
Right.
Amen. Amen to
Amen.
That.
Amen.
All right. So we are still in our responsibilities in the kingdom, and we are looking at the question, what are the community responsibilities in the kingdom? Let's go to the book of Matthew, chapter 25. The book of Matthew, chapter 25. And let us get verses 41 through 46. The book of Matthew, chapter 25. And look at verses 41 through 46. And when you have it, will you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right,
amen.
Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Matthew 25, verses 41 through 46. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire. Prepare for the devil and his angels. Now, just who is Messiah talking to here? Because he says, Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire. For when I was a-hungered, and you gave me no meat, I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink, I was a stranger, and you took me not in, naked, and you clothed me not, sick, and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer, saying, Master, when saw we thee a-hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then he shall answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, insomuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. So he's talking to really the so-called saints, members of the body, who are not doing these things, who don't care for, you know, people who are in trouble, don't care for the homeless, don't care for those that are destitute, don't care for somebody who has gone to prison, who is sick. In other words, not showing compassion for their fellow man in an active way. He said, when you didn't do it to them, it's like you didn't do it to me. And so he says that, you know, the punishment for not doing these things is to go into everlasting fire. We know that everlasting fire is the lake of fire. And so the community has a responsibility to take care of the homeless, to take care of the sick, to go out and to minister to these people, to check on them. But, you know, I would also include the fatherless, the widows, and the homeless in this. You know, not just, you know, our blood family, but we're commanded to take care of those that are less fortunate, those that are in need in the body and outside of the body. You know, so there, I know there are churches that have special ministries, you know, for like prisons, and have special ministries, you know, to go to the hospitals and what have you. And as a body, we have to be doing that. But each individual is also responsible. So if you're not involved in things like that, then you need to get involved with at some level, some aspect, because the Most High expects us to do it. Okay? And he says that if we don't, you know, that's what we got to hear. If we don't, he says that we are cursed. And he says, go into what? Everlasting fire. So we can say that we're part of the body, but if we aren't helping to take care of the needy in the body, not caring to minister to the body, if our life is all about us, then Messiah says he's got a problem with us. This is to the saints. He's not talking to sinners to do this. Because he said, listen to the conversation. Verse 44, then shall they also answer him, saying, Master. Who's going to call him Lord or Master except for his own? When saw we thee hungry or athirst or a stranger or naked or sick in prison and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to the least of thee, you did it not to me. So he's talking to the saints. Okay, and the saints can't be, you know, we can't be sitting in the pews on our hands. We can't, you know, just be coming to service and going home. But we are supposed to be involved. I think that involvement goes far, far, even far, farther than, good grief, further than what Messiah is saying here, because, you know, we want to say, we want to complain about the status of the political system, but we don't put anybody up for office. You know, we don't take somebody from within and say, hey, these are the values that we espouse, and we need somebody in public office. That's, you know, that's service. And that are going to represent our views. You know, I was talking to someone, and it was a political conversation. And I don't have a problem having political conversations. both parties are, you know, have their pluses and their minuses, and they're really designed to pit everybody against one another. So you pick a view that you like, and then, you know, that's the side you go with. But the truth of the matter is just like, you know, a lot of people are saying that they're pro-life. And I'm like, I have a problem with the pro-lifers. I said, because when the baby is in the womb, then you want to, you know, be talking about you don't want abortion and this, that, and the other. I said, but as soon as they come out of the womb, you care nothing for them. Don't want to, you know, provide programs to take care of them. Don't want to support them. And will kill them in a heartbeat. So where are you pro-life at? Is it that we just want to tell a woman that she can't do with her body whatever she wants to do with it? Is that what we're doing? Or are we really pro-life? Pro-life is, you know, before the womb and after. And so, you know, I have a problem with that movement, with that, I'm going to say, doctrine. We want to be consistent all the way through, you know, not just care for them at conception. But then, you know, I am really pro people when it comes to life. And I believe that society has a responsibility to provide for those that are less fortunate. And, you know, let's take the welfare system. The welfare system originally was designed to help those in society that had fallen on hard times. And in the beginning, the man and the woman and the children could be in the house. And then as soon as the African-American or the Negro population found out about these programs and started applying, then all of a sudden they didn't want the man in the house. And so it came to where the whole intent of the program broke down. Now, if you are in poverty and you make it easier for me to get food stamps and welfare with the more children that I have, and if you make it to where the man can't be in the home, and then if I get a job, you cut back on the benefits, equal to what my, you know, the pay that I got, then how are you helping me to get on my feet? It really is not designed that way. And so, you know, as I said, before the man could be in the house, when this was, quote unquote, I'm going to say it this way, when this was a program designed for the Caucasian population and they were the ones receiving the benefits, then the man and the woman and the children could be in the house. And they could, you know, they could get a hand up. But as soon as it became about the black population, then it's no, you know, take the man out of it. The man can't be in the house. It was for a while perpetual welfare, and it was designed to keep people that way. And so it wasn't really a good social program because it was really designed to hurt people. But the scriptures teach us that, you know, we should be caring about everyone. And so life is not fair. Everybody doesn't start off with the same beginnings. Everybody doesn't have the same mentality. Everybody didn't go through the same thing. And everybody doesn't respond to the same events the same way. So where somebody might be able to get knocked down and get back up, somebody else may not be able to. And to say, oh, well, you should be able to get back up on your feet, well, that's going to be an individual thing. So, you know, I think that our society wants to sort of have a picture of project that they're doing good things, but in the truth of the matter is those who really need the help can't really get it, and, you know, to make them jump through all kind of hoops to get help. I mean, I know for myself, every time that I have been out of work, let's say when I retired from the military, I never went and got unemployment. When I, you know, started my company and business is slow, I never went and got welfare. I sort of had, you know, sort of dealt with how I had to deal, because I never wanted to depend on the system at all. Nevertheless, I understand that there are people who need it. And, you know, the unfortunately, when times are really hard, when the economy really goes hard, guess who gets hit first? The church. You get a bunch of people out of work, the first thing they stop doing is paying tithes. It's like, you know, I can't afford to pay tithes. But then, you know, I'm of the mindset that we can't ever not afford to pay tithes, because the Most High says we're robbing him, and he's the one that's going to make sure that we're all right. No matter what the situation, he's going to provide. He's going to make sure there's a way. So, but I do know, because like I was saying the other day, I had about roughly almost 200 churches between Arizona and California. And I had some in Texas also, as clients. And when the economy went bad, one of the first things that you know, churches started doing was cutting back on IT. And the reason they were cutting back on IT is because people couldn't afford to pay tithes, or they weren't paying tithes. And so, you know, these cost centers. But the truth of the matter is, we need to be able to take care of those that are in need, truly in need, okay? So he says, if we don't, it's not Brother Miles saying this, this is Messiah saying this, if we don't do those things, then he says, get away from me. You cursed. Get away from me. Go into everlasting fire. I mean, do we hear our Messiah? So if you ain't doing the job, then I'm going to put you in the lake. Point blank. So we as the citizenship, as community members, you know, we have to first take care of those that are in need in our community, and then we have to look outside. So you got to always take care of home first. And then you look to those who are in need outside. That's one of the duties of the body. Let us go to the book of James, chapter 1, verse 27. The book of James, chapter 1. James, chapter 1, and verse 27. And when you have it, if you'll say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you. All right. James chapter 1, verse 27. Pure religion and undefiled before Elohim and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. This is true religion, and this is what the church, the responsibility of the body, the community. Visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. That means that you got to be going around to some foster care, some orphanages. I don't even know if they even got orphanages anymore. The foster care system. Looking at the fathers, the widows that are widows indeed, because the scripture says that if a widow has family, then her family should do what? Take care of her. Don't put that burden on the church. But if she don't have any family, it says if she's a widow indeed, meaning that she doesn't have any family, she's alone, then the church should be looking out for her. you know, there should be a ministry where for those mothers and fathers who are elderly, who are unmarried, but widows indeed, and have been in the body. Because, see, the scriptures say that a widow is going to be somebody who is dedicated to the Most High. And they spend their time, you know, they are in service to the Most High in prayer and in fasting. They're giving themselves to the Most High. And they've been doing that most of their life, if not all of their life. And now they're a widow, and they have no one to take care of them, and the church is obligated to see, make sure that, you know, they are not in want, in need. They might be in want, but not in need. Their basic needs, the body's supposed to make sure that they help take care of. And so, again, this is going to fall into that same category in Matthew chapter 25. If we're not doing those things, then Messiah is really saying, hey, you don't really belong to me. You're not really one of mine, because I command that you do these things. I command that you take care of your elderly. I command that you take care of the fatherless. I command that you take care of the sick, the homeless, that you see to those things, that you make sure that they don't go undone. Okay? So that's pure religion and undefiled before Elohim, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself spotless from the world. To keep yourself spotless from the world means that you're not about the world. You're not about running around, you know, chasing those things of the world. I think, let me get this verse, and I'm going to have us go here, because this is really the root of everything that's in the world. Just a second. Let me ad lib here for a minute. Let's see, New Testament. Book of 1 John, chapter 2. The book of 1 John, chapter 2. And let's get verse 16. And when you have it, if you'll say amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Everybody else on the same page?
Amen.
Amen. All right, Sister Rachel, shalom and welcome. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. So if we are allowing our flesh to take over, and all we're doing is lusting and trying to please the desires of the flesh, if we're trying to please everything and get everything that we see, we want it. We're being covetous. And if we're, you know, trying to, only thing we care about is what we're achieving in this world according to the world standard, but not according to what the Most High says, what he desires. You know, we're taught as people, grow up, go to college, get a job, obtain these things, a home, you know, big home, car, have a family, so forth and so on. And then what we try to be, whether it's a professor or a doctor or a lawyer, and our pride is in our work, that the world, that we have done for the world. Then he says, these things are not of him. They are of the world. So you got to understand, this is, you know, when we see the first fall of mankind with Adam and Eve. When you look at, read that story about Eve and, you know, her looking at the fruit on the tree, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. And she desired to be what? Wise. The pride of life. All these things are not of the Father. Okay, so we don't want to be focused on these things as a matter of what defines us. Do we need jobs? Yes. And I'm convinced that we go through a lot of the things that we go through because we don't live in communities and we don't operate as communities. We don't have businesses that we buy from each other, goods and services. We don't have it to where, you know, because we're a community that we can say, okay, well, as a community, we close every Sabbath. And we don't open up on these days because it's our custom. It's our holidays. You know, the world is closed on Christmas and New Year's and Thanksgiving Day. But those are not our holidays. They're not our feast days. And if we want them, then we got to take vacation or take time off. But the world celebrates those days. And so if we had community, then it wouldn't really matter. If we had our own businesses, if we had our own providing to ourselves, if we worked in the community, then we could do those things. And it wouldn't affect, you know, it wouldn't be as hard impacting. I know I give people letters that want to take off the Sabbath. And I give them letters to give to their jobs by, you know, Title VII of the Civil Rights Act, that if you ask for the Sabbath off and the feast days off, they really have to work really hard not to give it to you. And so they have to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that, you know, you not being there on those days is going to impact the business to the point that, you know, they just can't do business. And, you know, that's not true. If a business can't do without a person, any given person at any given time, then there's something wrong with that business. It's failing somewhere. Because what if you went out and got hit by a bus? What if you became incapacitated and now you can't be at work? The business is still going to go on. So there should be no reason that they tell you no. Now, they might say, hey, we can, you know, maybe we can compromise. Maybe you can have off every Sabbath but one. You know, you have to work this weekend, so you have to be available or something. But, you know, by the law, freedom of religion, they are required. If you say you observe Sabbath, if you say you observe as part of your religion these feast days, they really have to prove why they can't give it to you. So I tell all the saints, you know, I tell people all the time, there is, if you really want the Sabbath off, then you have to ask for it. Because the world is geared around Friday and Saturday partying. Friday, go out. Saturday, you know, going and doing kids things and sports and everything like that. It's contrary to the word of the Most High. And so but, you know, things are closed on what? Sunday, the first day of the week. But if you want those things, you know, you can request them, and they really have to, by law, consider it, okay? Let us go to the book of James, chapter 2. And we see that all that's in the world can't be concerned about those things that are in the world, because we're supposed to be in the world, but not of the world. This thing that we're talking here is supposed to be a way of life for us, not just something we do one or two days out of the week. But this is supposed to be a way of life. And so we're not supposed to be motivated by the same things that are of the world. We're not supposed to be letting the world dictate, you know, what dictate what our standards are, our morality are, is, what makes us a good person, what makes us a bad person. Those things should come straight from the Word of the Most High. It should be the Most High that defines these things. James chapter 2, verse 15 through 17, and when you have it, if you'll say amen.
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 Right, amen. If a brother or a sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body. It says, what does it profit? But it's really saying, what good is it that what you just did? What good is it you told them to be blessed, but you didn't provide anything for them? You didn't help them out. Yeah, I see it's 2 below 0. And how are you surviving out here with that little coat on? And why are you in this box? Come on, go with me. Now, see, now we know a lot of the times today this is about fear of somebody being a lunatic, fear of somebody being, you know, a killer. But you got to know if the Most High has you or not. He says, don't let these people do that type of stuff. You know, if you offer to them, they say no, at least you offered. But this is, he says, a brother or a sister. Now, if you got a brother or a sister, and he's talking about in the faith, because, you know, Messiah said, who is my mother? Who is my brother? Who is my sister? It's those that are in the faith. Okay. Not necessarily your blood, because a lot of times you can be in a separate walk than your blood, than your family. And so your brother and sister in Mashiach. If you see one of them destitute, naked and destitute, don't have food, we're not supposed to just walk by them, or we're not just supposed to say, oh, you know, they must be cursed. They must have did something wrong. Or else they wouldn't be going through that. You don't never know why somebody's going through something. Now, unless you do know, oh, my brother and my sister strung out on drugs and they keep spending all their money on drugs and alcohol and they're not taking care of business, that's a whole other thing. Then you probably should, you know, hey, let me give you a meal or whatever. But the truth of the matter is, sometimes you got to ask the Most High, can you help? Because then he may be doing something with them or to them to bring them to him. Verse 17. Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. So if you say, I have faith, but you have no works that support your faith, it says that your faith is what? Dead. It is just your faith. It's your belief. But you don't act on it. And so if you're not acting on it, if you're not actually doing what Messiah has said to do, then your belief is dead. Because, you know, you can believe a lot of things, but truly what you believe in is what you act on. Again, as an example, I say this as an example. I say, hey, brother or sister, your house is on fire. If you believe me, if you have faith in what I'm saying, you're going to act on it. But if you don't believe me, you don't have faith in what I'm saying, you're going to be like, yeah, right. Dude, you're just talking. Okay, so you're going to act on what you believe. And you're not going to act on what you don't believe. And if you see a brother or a sister that's destitute, and I'm not talking about going without something, like nobody needs alcohol. They're destitute. They don't have anything to eat in their house. They don't have you know, they have don't have sufficient clothing. You can see that it's cold, and you can see that they got socks on their hands. They don't have actually have gloves. You know, socks, they got something on their hand to kind of try to help. But, you know, it ain't nothing like a glove. And you don't do anything to help. Messiah says, I got a very special place for those of the saints that don't handle business. They don't care about their fellow brothers or sisters. So I got a place in the lake for you. So you can be in the household of faith and not doing what you're supposed to do and still end up in everlasting fire because you didn't do what you're supposed to do. Go to the book of Matthew, chapter 19. The book of Matthew, chapter 19. And let's get verses 1 through 6. And it came to pass that when Yeshua had finished these sayings, he departed from Galilee and came into the coast of Judea beyond Jordan. And great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? Now, this is in here because this is a very common thing in Israel. This is a very common thing in the church. People jump in and out of relationships for any reason, every cause. I don't like you anymore. I fell out of love. Oh, you cheated. You're not paying the bills. You spend too much money. Any reason, people are falling in and out of these relationships. And so the Most High says, no. But the Pharisees came to him and asked him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause, any cause? And he answered and said unto them, have you not read that which was made, that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore, they are no more twain or two, but one flesh. What therefore Elohim has joined together, let no man put asunder. So the body has a responsibility. Community members have a responsibility as far as relationships go, as far as marriage goes, as far as the Most High is concerned, is not to enter into them frivolously, not to enter into them just for our own gratification, because it takes work in every relationship. Nobody's perfect. And when we enter into these relationships, we got to understand the Most High expects them to be forever. Forever. That's the intent. Do not get into this relationship until you don't feel the same anymore. Because some people can, you know, over something trivial, have a change of heart. Let's talk about this for a minute, too, and I have to find these verses for what I'm about to explain to you. Because, you know, our laws tell us that adultery is when a man or a woman cheats on their spouse. They have sex with somebody that they're not married to. But that's not the true definition of adultery according to the Bible. Adultery, that what I just described, your mate having sex outside the marriage is really them fornicating. And because they can fornicate with somebody and still not have a change of heart towards you. They still want you. They still, quote unquote, have feelings for you, but they have probably violated the trust in the relationship. And if the relationship is set up that, hey, we are exclusive to each other, In other words, he can't have another wife, because in the Bible it's never that a woman can have more than one husband. But the truth of the matter is, where I get this from is when the Most High accuses Israel. He accuses Israel of being fornicators and adulterers. I said, how are you going to be both? And the truth of the matter is, he says, when they forgot about him, when they had a change of heart toward him, then he accuses Israel of being adulterers. When they were worshiping strange gods, when they were, you know, looking at the horoscope, when they were going to the witch, he said they were fornicating. They still believed in him, but they were fornicating with these other deities. They were going outside the relationship, and they were fornicating. But when they had a change of heart toward the Most High, where they left him, then he said, okay, you're an adulterer now. You have had a change of heart toward me. So a lot of times in a lot of relationships, a lot of people are in adultery and they never cheated with anybody. They didn't go and sleep with somebody, but they had a change of heart toward their spouse. And according to the scriptures, according to the Most High, that is when you would be an adulterer. You had a change of heart. And when you have a change of heart, then you justify, well, you know, I can go and start seeing somebody else. I can get out of this relationship and go start seeing somebody else, doing what I want to do. But he says, no, that is not the way that it works with him. So the bottom line is, he expects that if we get married, he expects that this is a lifelong relationship, and that if you walk away from it, the only way that a man can put a woman or divorce a woman is if she had sex outside of the marriage. Then he can put her away today. Okay. In the Old Testament, she would have been killed. If they were caught cheating, and you know, her and whoever, or he and whoever, if he's messing with somebody's married, that's married, then they will both be killed. But Messiah said it this way, and this is who we have to take. He modified the law. He said, if a man puts away his wife for any reason other than she fornicated, she went outside the marriage. If he puts her away for anything else, then he is an adulterer. And whoever he marries is an adulterer. And because he put his wife away, he also made her an adulterer. She didn't even cheat. But the Most High says she got put away. Not a good thing. And if she goes outside the marriage, then he's authorized to put her away. If she wants to leave, she's not, you know, don't want to be with this man, according to the scriptures, she can leave, but she's not free to remarry. She's not free to remarry. That she is to, as long as that man is alive, that's her husband. And so if she don't want to be with him, then she walks away from the relationship and says she's not free to remarry until he's dead. Now that's the word of the Most High. Then there's also a provision in the scripture that if two of you walk together, one of you is a believer and the other one is not, and the unbeliever desires to stay with the believer, they're not going to hinder you in your faith. They're not going to stop you from worshiping the Most High. They're not going to stop you from living the life. Just then let them stay. Because what do you know? They might convert based upon your lifestyle, your conversation, how you carry yourself. But if they desire, if they don't want to stay with you, this is typically the case where we started off and one of us got saved. One of us came to truth. We now want to start living the life for the Most High, and our spouse doesn't. No, I don't see how you believe that stuff. I don't see how you got into that. I'm not going there. I'm not doing that. I don't want to be with you if you're going to be doing this. And he says, then you're not in bondage to stay in that relationship. Now, those are Paul's words. But Paul said, hey, I'm saying it by permission. And so the Most High didn't say no. Because he wants everybody. He didn't want us to be in relationships, especially when it comes to living according to his standards. And the house is a war zone because of it. You're trying to pray, and they are cussing at you, calling you all kind of names. You know, they're drunk, acting stupid, because they know that you want to spend time with the Most High. He says, no. I don't want you having to endure that. Okay. So those are the only reasons that I know in the scriptures that a brother and sister can part ways. One cheated, and he says, then you can get divorced. Don't have the same beliefs, and you are really contrary to each other, and you don't desire to stay with each other, or you can't really divorce them if you're a believer. But if they don't want to stay with you, and they walk away, they walked away, and you're not in bondage to that. As community members of the community, we are bound by these standards because they are the law. It's what thus said Elohim. You enter into this covenant relationship. It's not just you and the person that you're with, but you're also in this relationship with me. You said you got married in my eyes. You're going to live by my standards. You're going to do and keep the relationship according to my standards, not your own. So a brother and sister who are walking after the Most High have to understand what he requires in relationships and can't look at the world. Can't get into a relationship with the standards of the world. Has to be with the standards of the Most High. And we have to abide by it. It's one, our responsibility, just like taking care of those poor people, taking care of the destitute, the homeless, the widow, the fatherless. We got a responsibility to maintain healthy relationships, to do all that we can do to keep a relationship alive, as even if we have to be separate. So there's only one way out of it, you know, for a person. Most I says, hey, really only one way out of these relationships, and that's death. All relationships end at death. But these are the special provisions. Other than that, I expect you to stay together until death do you part, for real, for real. Go to Matthew chapter 21. The book of Matthew chapter 21. And let's get verses 12 and 13. And when you have it, if you'll say amen.
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 Amen. And Yeshua went into the temple of Elohim and cast out all of them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. Now, as believers and as members of the community, one of the things that I saw in the church before I left the church was that, you know, they were making the gospel commercialized. You can go and buy the latest lesson or the latest service for, you know, $5. Buy this on DVD. Really commercializing the house of the Most High. The Most High said he already put in procedures to finance his body. And really, you know, up under the New Testament, is that we have all equal. But, you know, that's hard for most people because growing up in this capitalistic society, you know, we're taught get a job, earn your money, buy what you need, buy what you want. You have what you have based upon how you work for it. But that's not what the Most High actually says in his word. He says that we are to have all things equal and in common. And so, you know, when I say this, I mean this. If I get $5 million, we all have $5 million. It will be spread to do what we need to do in the community. Because I don't want to leave the earth. You know, I've worked and done exactly what the capitalistic system has said to do. You know, get a job, make as much money as you can, buy the car, buy the house. Buy, you know, everything, have whatever it is that you want. But the truth of the matter is, it is the kingdom that's supposed to be first in our lives. And as community, then we're supposed to be looking out for each other's wealth, each other's welfare. So in these verses, the church itself, you know, having bake sales, because, you know, let's be real here. If you've ever held any type of office in a church, then you know that with everything today, it costs money. The church building don't just, you know, it didn't get built for nothing. If they don't own the building, then they're paying a lease on it. That has to be paid. The lights have to be paid. It's got to be cleaned. If it's got a kitchen and what have you, then, you know, all the stuff that goes into just the building, the church itself. These things cost money. And if people don't pay their tithes and their offerings, then how do they expect these things to happen? Really, let's be real. Because those things are not even supposed to be paid out of tithes and offerings. The electricity for the church, the lights, the cleaning, all that stuff, it's not supposed to be paid by the tithes. When I did the lesson on tithes, I showed you clearly that the tithes is the paycheck for the Most High servant. The tithe was the paycheck for the Levite. For what? For their service to the Most High. So all the tithes and offerings that were received by the Levitical tribe was their paycheck. If the people wanted a temple, if they wanted something else to be done, then they were always told to bring an offering for that. The people paid for it. The people are supposed to pay for the lights in the church. People are supposed to pay actually for the actual lease on the church. It's supposed to be a community thing. But it's not the way that it happens today. Why? Because people believe that their tithes and their offerings are supposed to go for these things. But really, it would be like me coming to you and say, hey, what are you doing with your paycheck this week? Or are you paying the stuff you're supposed to be paying with your paycheck? You're like, that's my paycheck. What business is that of yours? And you would be absolutely correct. It's your paycheck. But it's the same thing with the tithes and the offerings. Those are for the ministry, for their service to the Most High. Now, what has happened in a lot of cases, the church is family owned, or it's an organization that, let's see, can't think of the name of this organization, but the organization builds the churches, and then they hire the pastor. So the organization builds the church, they hire the pastor, and then they tell the pastor, all right, now you got to preach and pay the bills. This is a loan to you and your congregation. And if you don't have a congregation because it's a new church, then, you know, he's got to preach them in there, and they have to start paying their tithes and their offerings, and then that they are paying back the organization. But for a lot of black churches, it is family-owned and operated. And that pastor dug that church out of the dirt by himself. And so, you know, they can't even get loans to get a building built. I remember when the last church I was in, the pastor was trying to, you know, we're trying to put up a new edifice. We were in, the church actually started in like a three-bedroom house that had been gutted out. And, you know, the church just exploded. People were coming and sitting on the outside. And so, you know, we got together and said we need a new church. Built a big church. But it was in the family, you know, it was financed by the family. And, you know, they were taking it from the tithes. So understand that the operation of the community, the church, the temple, is really on the people. The tithes and offerings, yeah, the pastor still has to pay tithes. He, if whatever he receives, he got to pay tithes on that. But it's really his payroll. And anybody who's in the ministry with him, the deacons, the assistant pastor, the other ministers on staff, the choir, the usher workers, everybody that's involved with that ministry is supposed to be on payroll. And they're supposed to be being paid out of the tithe because they're doing a service to the Most High. That's the way it's supposed to work. But most of the time, because most people aren't paying tithes and offerings, or they're giving, you know, their offering is $2, and I'm like, okay, they don't pay tithes. They give every now and again. Then, yeah, most churches are struggling. Most pastors are struggling. But that's not the way the Most High ever intended it to be. He never intended it to be that way. And so if you're a member of the community, you have a responsibility per the Most High to do these things. So if you're not able to or don't desire, can't see it, where you come together and everybody have all things equal, where, you know, everybody's putting all their money in a pot, and then everybody's being provided for, is what the New Testament is all about. If you can't do that, then you should be paying tithes and offerings, because the Most High said, if you don't, then you're robbing him. If you say you belong to him, then this is not a suggestion. It has nothing to do with the Levitical priesthood. It has nothing to do with that. We use that as an example, but tithing started with the Melchizedek priesthood, with Abraham paying tithes to Melchizedek before the Levitical tribe ever existed. So when you come into the New Testament, he tells you that Christ is a priest after the order of what? Melchizedek. And though there's no Levitical priesthood anymore, we are priests after the order of Melchizedek also. And in the Melchizedek priesthood, we pay tithes. So it's not based upon the Aaronic priesthood and the Levitical priesthood. It's based upon the Melchizedek priesthood. We're commanded to do these things, that the body of Messiah might be fit, might be able to thrive. It's not just to consume upon ourselves. So we can take care of the homeless. We can have, you know, if everybody's got everything in common, then those people, you know, if you come with nothing, you just have nothing. But you're still supposed to receive the same. That's like the parable of the men that came to work in the kingdom. And, you know, they all came to work. Some came early in the morning. and they agreed to a certain price. I'll work all day for a penny. I'm just going to say it like that. I'll work all day for a penny. And somebody came at noon. I'll work from noon to closing for a penny. Somebody came at 1 hour before closing. I'll work this last hour. And they got the same pay as the guy that worked from the beginning of the day. And the guy that worked all day long said, is that fair? And Messiah said, did you not agree to work for that price? Then don't complain. Because you got paid what you agreed to. It's the same way. Okay. So we have to come into the kingdom, and we're agreeing that we are going to live the life that the Most High says. A lot of time that takes changing the way we actually conduct our business, the way we look at things. Anyway, let's move on. The church should not have to do things that cause it to rob people. They have to do things in order to raise money to keep the lights on. They have to do things in order to pay the lease on the building, to pay the property taxes. They shouldn't have to do those things, bake sales and cookouts and car washes and all these things that they're having to do. That is actually the responsibility of the body. And when the body doesn't do that, and the pastor says, hey, I still got to pay this light bill, and half the people ain't paying their tithes, or they lost their jobs, or whatever the case may be, and the light's still got to be paid, you know, they'll people be mad. They come, and the doors to the church are locked, closed. Until we pay the light bill. Well, what y'all doing with the tithe money? Well, they can actually say, yeah, you know, we didn't get enough tithe and we didn't pay it out of that. But the truth of the matter is, that's the responsibility of the body. That is what's in the scriptures. And the Most High said, bring it. You want a temple? You want a tabernacle? Let every man give according as he purposed in his heart. This is even back in Torah. Take an offering of the children of Israel, all who are above a heart to give it, and let them build me a sanctuary. Not tell the Levites to take what's out of theirs, but tell the people, all who are of a willing heart, let them bring an offering and build me a sanctuary. So this has always been on the people. It's not new. It is the way that it's being projected today in our society where, you know, we have pastors who have mega churches and they have jet planes and they got limousines and they got an entourage around them and yada, yada, yada. I mean, I used to run with all these guys. So I'm not telling you something that I heard. I'm telling you things that I know. The bottom line is, if that's what they want to do with their money, but the truth of the matter is they're not following the word of the Most High. And I know churches that will tell their pastors, no, we don't want you riding around in a hoopty. We're going to go buy you a car, the church, and we're going to put you in this. We're going to pay for it because we don't want our pastor riding that way. I know churches that are that way. And then people get mad because the pastor is, you know, the pastor had no desire for that car. But the people wanted to see him in it. Okay. So this is a matter of the heart of the people. But all of us are required to do our part in regards to the kingdom. So I'm just going to say it this way and I'm going to move on. If you're not going to pay tithes and offerings, then you have to be willing to have all things equal and in common. Problem is that we're all over the place. And so that's hard to do. then we ought to be paying tithes and offerings, because we, the Most High says, will a man rob him? And you say, how have we robbed you? He said, in tithes and offerings. He says, the tenth is holy to him. It's his. It's his. Whatever we make, a tenth of it belongs to him. Your offering says how you feel about him. Your offering ain't got nothing to do with your tithes. It ain't got nothing to do with really how much you make or anything. Your offering is how you feel about the Most High, how you want to show him how you feel about it. That's what it was between Cain and Abel. They're bringing an offering to the Most High, and it, their offering says how they feel about him. Abel's offering was acceptable to the Most High. Cain's offering was rejected. And see, we think that whatever we offer to the Most High, whatever we offer should be good enough. I'm sure Cain felt that way too. Whatever he offered should have been good enough. Most High said, uh-uh. Do you know who I am? I don't have to accept that. You need to be, think about who you're presenting to. I'm not just, you know, Joe Blow over here. I am the Most High Elohim, the creator of the universe. And you need to think about and have some respect and some reverence for what you're going to offer me. But he also says this, and I'm going to say this to everyone. And everybody knows this. If you don't want to give it, don't give. Because the Most High says, if you don't want to give the offering, don't give it. You don't want it. But you also don't want to be blessed either. That's what you're saying to him. You don't want to be blessed either. Is it your offering says, your tithe is not yours. It's in your pocket, but you're supposed to pay it to the church, to the Most High. 10%, whatever it is. Your offering says how you feel about it. Let's move on. Because it's not tithe and offering on this night. It's responsibilities of the community. Let's go to Matthew chapter 23. The book of Matthew chapter 23. And let's get verse 15. And when you have it, if you'll say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank
amen.
You. Thank you. And let me open up the mics of everybody else who joined. All right, peace and blessings to everybody else that has joined. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 15. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you can pass sea and land. You go around sea and land to make one proselyte. And when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Woe unto you, blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing. But whosoever shall swear by gold of the temple, he is a debtor. You fools, blind, for whether is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifies the gold? They thought the money was more important than the temple itself. They thought the gold was more important than the temple, than the house of the Most High. Then the Most High is really what it's saying. The money's more important. And whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing. But whosoever shall swear by the gift that is upon it, he is guilty. Again, they're looking at what the man is doing, the gift being more important than the actual altar. Wrong precedence. You fools, blind, and whether is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifies the gift? Whosoever therefore shall swear by the altar, swears by it and by all things thereon. And whosoever shall swear by the temple, swears by it and by him that dwelleth therein. So the Pharisees didn't quite get this. And I think a lot of times today, we don't quite get it either. We are the temple of the Most High today. Let's go get this. Give me a hot second here. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And let's get verse 16. And when you have it, if you'll say amen.
Amen.
Amen. I was on mute.
Thank you. Thank you. Want to make sure we're all on the same page, because I don't want people to say, and Brother Miles said. Want us to make sure that we read it for ourselves. Know ye not that ye are the temple of Elohim, and that the spirit of Elohim dwells in you. Each and every one of us has to understand, if we have been filled by the Spirit, we are the temple of Elohim. This is where he wanted to dwell from the very beginning, in us. And so if Elohim is in us, then we can't be doing any and everything with our body. If the Most High is in us, we may not want to take him certain places. Used to go to that strip club. Used to go to this or that. Is that someplace that the Most High would really want to go? Because, see, I don't think a lot of times we forget who we are. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And let's get verse 16. No, before we go there, I'm sorry. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. My bad. We're going to go back there. We got another verse in there we need to get. Back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. We're going to get verse 17 now. Verse 16. Know ye not that you are the temple of Elohim, the temple of the Most High, and that the spirit of Elohim dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of Elohim, him shall Elohim destroy. For the temple of Elohim is what? Holy.
Holy.
Which temple you are. We talked about holy and unholy last week. We talked about being clean and unclean. And so we can't be doing just any and everything as a community, as members of the body of Messiah. We can't just be doing any and everything. We are the temple. We are where he resides, or where he wishes to reside. And he says, and if you defile the temple, him shall Elohim destroy. So he's telling you as a saint, you can't walk around any kind of way, doing whatever you want to do, saying you're a saint and you are just doing all kind of crazy, unclean, filthy things, going anywhere and everywhere, doing all kind of things. Because he says, you know what? You are defiling. You think you're just defiling your own body. He says, but if he dwells in you, then you're defiling what? His temple. That's why I said we have to understand who we are and what we are. When Messiah came, when he got crucified and was resurrected, he became that living, breathing tabernacle. The tabernacle where the Most High used to sit above the mercy seat, now the Most High is in flesh. When the Most High fills us with his spirit, then we become that living and breathing tabernacle where the Most High dwells. And we are able to offer, through the Most High, salvation. We are able to forgive sin. See, there's a lot of things in the scriptures that because we don't know who we are and what we are. We don't believe it. We don't walk in it. We think that, you know, it's not supposed to be for us. But understand this for this evening. You are the temple of the Most High. And if you defile the temple, he says, you will he destroy. Can't say you belong to him and that, and then you're out here doing everything. You're out here, you know, smoking up a storm, drinking up a storm, doing things that defile the temple. Not saying that drinking is a sin. Drinking as according to the scripture is not a sin. But when you overindulge, it becomes a sin. When you live for it, it becomes a sin. But I just say it to people like this. Whatever you would not walk up into the sanctuary doing or do in the sanctuary, the building, where the altar is at, if you wouldn't walk into the church or to a camp building and light up a smoke or pull out a fifth of alcohol, if you wouldn't sit there and get drunk in the church or get high off of some weed in the church, you shouldn't be doing it to your body, because you are the temple. I hope we can hear this. We've got to let a lot of things go because of who we are. That's the world that does that. But as a saint of the Most High, we know that being unclean, being defiled is a sin. The Most High says, if any man defile the temple of Elohim, him shall Elohim destroy. He didn't say, oh, let me slap you on the wrist. He didn't say, oh, let me give you penance. He said, I'm going to destroy you. That means to put you in the lake. That's where all of everything else that is defiled is going, in the lake. So we got to understand this. It's not something for us to play with.
Amen.
You know, I know, trust me, looking in the mirror, looking at myself first, because when I was young, hey, I was doing any and everything. So I'm not pointing at anybody, because if I point at anybody, I got three fingers pointing back at me. But I have to tell the truth. And I can't let this go, because the Most High is calling us to a higher calling. Okay. Verse 18. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seems to be wise in this world, let him be a fool, that he may be wise. Let the word of Yah be true, and let us be a liar. Let us not contradict the word of the Most High, but let his word be true. All right, now let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Second Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 16 and 17. When you have it, if you say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you also. All right. Second Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. And what agreement has the temple of Elohim with idols? For you are the temple of the living Elohim, as Elohim has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their Elohim, and they shall be my people. What agreement has the temple of Elohim with idols, with anything, worshiping anything other than the Most High? This is what the priesthood did. When I read this in Ezekiel chapter 8 and 9, what Israel did and the priesthood did, what the Kings did. It's the equivalent of you coming home and catching your mate in the bed with somebody that they ain't married to. This is what he said Israel did. When we mess with idols, when we worship other things, when we look at, you know, look at the horoscope, when we think that something else guides our life, when we think that we can worship pagan holidays, feast days that the Most High hasn't given us that are tied to other deities, even if we don't know that they're tied to other deities. And we don't consider ourselves to be worshiping those other deities. The Most High says, you shall not do it. These are the days that I say that you should worship, that you should celebrate on. And these are the reasons. And anything else is a form of idolatry, whether we know it or not. It's a form of idolatry. So he says, what agreement do you have? Because you're the temple. What agreement has the temple of Elohim with idols? For you are the temple of the living Elohim. As Elohim has said, as community members, you have a responsibility to the Most High and to the community not to bring in other forms of worship. Not to bring in, you know, we don't really understand because we are so caught up in this man's society, that we think that some things that are we think are innocent, it's okay. You know, it's in a cartoon. It's okay to say, it's okay to, you know, to give credit to that. But it's not, because when you go back, there's nothing that is by chance. And so when you go back and you actually research it, you find out, oh, wait a minute, that really is a god or a goddess that somebody worship. And now they have it in a cartoon or they have a saying about it. And well, I've been saying this all this time, and I never knew that. I'll give you a classic example, okay? And I challenge you to go research it. The Statue of Liberty is the goddess of this country. Her real name is Columbia, the goddess Columbia, sent here by the French. Yeah. And she is the goddess of liberty. Whatever you want to do, as long as it don't hurt nobody else, supposedly, you can do. Liberty. Under the goddess of liberty, if you want to be gay, you can be gay. You have the liberty to be gay. If you want to be whatever, you have the liberty to do it. And when we celebrate the 4th of July, which is supposed to be this nation's Independence Day, then we also are celebrating as part of that independence. What figure do you see going along with that? You see the Statue of Liberty, the goddess Columbia. She gave us our liberty and our what? She's as also celebrated for our freedom in this country. Now, I'm retired military, and I went to war for this country. And never, ever did I think that I was worshiping the Statue of Liberty. Never thought of her as a goddess until I did the research. I said, whoa. And I had to repent. And I had to go before the Most High and repent. And I said, I did this thing in ignorance. I didn't know. Because had I known, I would be like I am today. I don't celebrate the 4th of July for that reason. I don't celebrate Thanksgiving for that reason, because it's tied to another deity, another idol. Amen. I don't celebrate Christmas. So there's a lot of these holidays, pagan holidays, that are associated with deities. And you may not know it. But if you want to stay safe and you don't want to associate yourself with any idols, any false gods, then you only keep the feast days at the Most High. And trust me, he gives us enough feast days. It ain't a lack of holidays. But the truth of the matter is, we're only supposed to worship him.
Amen.
And we're only supposed to give our adoration to him, period.
Amen.
And so, you know, we as the community, we got to know this. And, you know, we grew up with these traditions. Let's say like Easter. When I really found out what Easter was about, I threw up. Because this was for the fertility god Esther. And as part of their practice of their religion, the practice was just like with Baal, they would dress up. The women would put on new dresses, like the little girls put on new dresses, and then they would go and have sex on the altar. Part of their worship. What does that have to do with Messiah?
Nothing.
What does a bunny rabbit have to do with Messiah?
Nothing.
So this is the stuff that if we don't know it, and because we grew up in it, and, you know, it was just when I was a kid, hey, you go get your Easter suit. We got a new suit. Go to the church. The church have an Easter egg hunt. You know, we're doing all these things as kids, and we're being indoctrinated into this stuff, and it's supposed to be innocent. But it really is not.
Nope.
It's not innocent. Nope. And we can't take part
in
those things. I'm sorry, my sister, say that again.
I say neither is Christmas. They say that
Father
is the reason for the season, but that's Santa Claus' birthday.
Right. It has nothing to do with Messiah. They tie it to Messiah, just like they tie all the pagan holidays to Messiah. If it's a holy day, not declared by the Most High, but they want to celebrate it, they tie Messiah to it.
Uh-huh.
And they say it's a holy day. But Messiah have nothing to do with those things.
Nope.
You know, the Easter, what the world calls Easter, is really a true holiday, a true feast day for us. But they have hijacked it. You know, it's the feast of the first fruits. It's like we celebrate Passover, but they don't celebrate Passover. But the first day after Passover Sabbath is Easter Sunday to the world. That's how they calculate it. But that's the feast of the first fruits for Israel. Messiah being the first fruits from the tomb. So we got to understand that they take our feast days and they hijack them. And then we're keeping and we're doing the things that they do. We're following their traditions. And we're not supposed to. Not even supposed to mix it. So, what agreement has the temple of Elohim with idols? For you are the temple. Don't forget that, ever. You are the temple of the living Elohim. Let us go to First Peter. First Peter chapter 2. First First Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 1, and when you have it, if you say amen.
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 Amen. All right, thank you. First Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, and as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. When I first found out who I was as a Hebrew Israelite, that I was a Hebrew Israelite, the Most High, you know, I went to the Most High and said, what is it that we have done as a people? Because I did this from the standpoint, I said, no matter what we do as a people, at the time, African American, Negro, didn't know anything about a Hebrew Israelite. What did we do as a people that should make the world esteem us the way that they do? And the truth of the matter is, we come into this walk, when I came into this Hebrew Israelite walk, Hebrews are into the word. But I found out that a lot of Hebrews have itching ears. We want to hear great things. We want to hear all these mystery things, and we don't really want to hear the milk of the word. A lot of people weren't even trained in the milk of the word. The foundation. Have no understanding about what true salvation is. Have no understanding of how to actually walk before the Most High. Doing the best that they can off of what they've been taught. But they were never taught the sincere milk of the word. Never went through babyhood, got baptized and just grown, and here are these lessons, but never anything designed to help a baby Christian, a baby believer, grow. And that's a problem. And that is what this class is designed to address. It's actually called my milk series, but it's everything that a new saint should know concerning their walk, because we're doing stuff, and I have to say it's out of ignorance, some of it, because we were never taught, and we were never taught from the proper perspective. So we have a belief, we have an understanding. And then we go over some things that people say, I didn't know that. I never heard that. So we have to, as a community, have to understand that we have to have the foundation down pat. You can't teach somebody something that you don't know.
Amen.
And you can't walk in something that you don't know.
Amen.
When you understand the sincere word, the sincere milk of the word, the fundamentals, it's easier to walk the walk. It's easier because then, you know, I know you guys think I'm hard. And I am on us because we're in trouble as a people. We are in trouble.
Amen.
We've been taught lies. We've believed all kind of things. We've had false teachers. We've had teachers who are possessed by wicked spirits, teaching and leading and doing all kind of stuff. Because they were never converted. They picked up the book and start reading. But the truth of the matter is, let me just say it this way. None of this matters if you end up in the lake. None of it matters if what you're doing is going to take you to the lake. And Brother Miles just don't play those things. Because the Most High has shown me, and he said, show you. So I don't have a heaven or a hell to put anybody into. But the truth of the matter is, I'm going to do everything I can to get into the kingdom and not the lake in the kingdom.
Amen, brother.
I ain't trying to head to the lake. Uh-uh. And I'm not trying to take nobody to the lake with me either. Amen. And the Most High is not playing. He don't play. And he's not as merciful and kind as people want to make him out to be. He's kind as long as you ain't playing.
Amen.
The minute you start playing, he ain't kind no more. The minute you start acting a fool, the Most High says, I got something for a fool. We've read it too much. And so it's not, Brother Miles, it's not just my understanding. It's just all over this word. We have to do right. So it says, put away all malice, all guile, all hypocrisies, and envies, and evil speakings. And as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. We, you know, I see so many brothers, they're coming and they want this steak dinner. And they want all these fascinating things. They want to know about this prophecy. And so what good is that prophecy going to do you if what you're doing is going to end you in the lake? It don't. You better hope the prophecy don't come true real quick.
Amen.
What good is doing knowing all the numerology and all this stuff, if you ain't got saved yet, don't do you a bit of good. The first priority is doing what's necessary to get into the kingdom. The Most High says it plainly. Seek ye first what?
The kingdom of heaven.
And Elohim and all his righteousness. And all this other stuff will what?
Will be added to you.
It'll be added to you. But we got the priority wrong. We're seeking all this other stuff in the kingdom last. The kingdom when we can get around to it. When it's convenient for us. The Most High said, seek the kingdom first. Whatever you do, your first understanding is, I got to make it in.
Amen.
Whatever that takes, I got to make it in. Seek you first,
amen,
the kingdom. Then all this other stuff, the prophecy, the numerology, whatever it is, it'll be added to you.
Amen.
You'll have a space in your life for it. It'll mean something more, too, because you know what? If you don't know what your end place is, and if the scriptures are telling you if you're in sin, you're going to the lake, and we still be boggled down by sin after sin after sin all the time, then the Most High said already, you know, Brother Miles don't have to say it, but the scripture is clear. He's not playing. It's us that's playing. He has said what he meant, and he means what he said. And we have to get with the program, or the bottom line is we're headed toward the lake. So I do this series, teach about salvation, teach about water baptism, teach about being baptized in the Spirit, teach about prayer and fasting and worship and the way of life of the kingdom and the finances of the kingdom, because we are supposed to be in that kingdom already right now, waiting for our king to return.
Amen.
We're supposed to be living according to the kingdom of the Most High, his laws, his statutes, his commandments, right now, not waiting for him to come back and establish it. We're supposed to be established in it.
Amen.
But it is just the opposite. And so we have to get this right, because bottom line is, we get it wrong, it's the lake. Period. The Most High says in Deuteronomy, I set before you today two choices, a blessing and a curse. There ain't no in between. Just choose life and be blessed. Choose him. Do what he says do. Because the alternative is the curse. There is no in-between. There is no kind of, I'm kind of making it. That's why he says you have to be committed to this. 100% committed. You shall find me when you seek me with half your heart. Is that what he said?
All of your heart.
Your whole heart.
A whole heart. Man.
He said, don't give me a piece of you. Give me all of you.
Man.
Serve me with your whole heart.
Whole heart.
Embrace everything about me 100%, completely. Believe, this is the problem. Believe me. Because most of us don't believe him. And Messiah says, who shall believe our report? And to whom is the arm of Yah revealed? He says, y'all don't believe me. And my arm is revealed to those that believe me.
Amen.
And if you believe him, then you're going to do what he says do. You're not going to try to do it. You're going to do it.
You're going to do it. Amen.
Not going to make excuses. You're going to do it. Because you fear the ramification if you don't. You fear the consequences. That's why he says, fear me, because it ain't gonna turn out well if you don't. He's not playing. It's us that's playing. Let's do one more and then we'll stop for this evening. We'll pick it up next week. Still on the responsibilities of the community. You and the kingdom. 1 Peter chapter 5. And we're going to get verses 1 and 2. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. And when you have it, if you say amen.
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 And amen. Thank you. The elders which are among you, I exhort or I encourage, who am also, saying that he also is an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of Elohim which is among you, taking oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over Elohim's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. If I'm out doing everything in the world, and you know me, and you know I'm out, I'm chasing skirts, I'm getting drunk all the time, I'm gambling, I'll steal in a heartbeat. What example am I setting for you?
A very poor one.
Thank you. As an elder, what example am I setting for you?
A very poor one.
If you're doing it and you're elder in the community, what example are you setting?
A very poor example.
Amen. We have to be in samples. We have to not lord it. You know, it's not about lording or commanding the flock. Because the instruction, all we got to do is keep the word of the Most High. And trust me, his word is strict enough.
Amen.
All we got to do is enforce his word. He used to be like, oh, you lord it over. No, this is what the word says. And follow the instructions. Not here. I'm not interested in playing games or making friends. Because it's not the job the Most High gave me. Even though I want friends. And I like people. But my first duty is to him.
Amen.
And it's to teach you. So, let me read this again. To the elders which are among you, I encourage, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, feed the flock of Elohim which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. The oversight means to look out for you. And don't do it by constraint, because you feel like you know somebody's making you do it. I do this because it's always been in my heart to do, and this is what the Most High called me to.
Amen, brother.
But willingly, trust me, I don't teach 4 or 5 times a week because somebody's making me do it. I willingly do this. From the bottom of my heart. Not for filthy lucre. It ain't for your tithes and your offerings. It ain't to make you feel better about sin. It ain't so that you can send me some money and I say, oh, yeah, I bless you and keep you safe. It ain't about that. But of a ready mind, because we are supposed to care and love one for another. We are supposed to be truthful with each other. We're not all in the same place. We're not all walking the same walk. We have different problems, but we have to be honest, and we have to, you know, if we need help, we need to ask for help. And I just want each and every one of you to understand, and those that are listening online to understand, I'm not here for your hurt. I'm not here to take advantage of you. I'm here to do what the Most High has sent me to do, teach you the word of Yah, give you his heart, let you understand that as a child of the Most High, you are precious. You are more valuable than anything in this world. And all you got to do is understand who you are and walk in your calling. I am a child of the Most High Elohim. That should mean something to you. It really should mean something. I can't go everywhere. I can't do everything because of who I represent.
Amen.
I can't do whatever I want to do because of who I represent.
Amen.
So you have to believe that. And I have to, if I'm a teacher or a pastor in Israel, I have to be the example. Let's bow our heads. Father Yah, we thank you on this evening. We thank you for your word, Father. We thank you for your teachings. We thank you for the sincere milk of the word. Father, we need you. We need every aspect of you. We need you to be in control of our lives. We need you to guide us and to lead us. We need you to chastise us when we are bad. We need you to correct us when we get off course. We need you to bless us. Father, our desire is to be like you. Our desire is to walk in your ways and to be pleasing unto you. Our desire is to make it into your kingdom, Father, in the world to come, to see your face, to be at peace with you. Now we should be your children and you should be our Father. Father, if there be anything within any of us that is not like you, Father, work on each individual person because you know each and every one of us and you know our hearts. You know what we need to be worked on. Work it out in us. Take it from us. Improve it, whatever it is. You are the potter and we are the clay. Form us in your image. Take from us all the desires of this world that we should just desire to be in your kingdom and to walk in your ways and to do what you say to do. Father, now as we prepare to go our separate ways, I ask that you will smile upon each person, that you will keep them safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, my brothers and my sisters, remember, I love you. I really do. But I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Amen. On Thursday, business meeting, we are still talking about acceptable behavior of the saints according to the kingdom and Yah's global kingdom ministries, setting the expectation so that, you know, you can't say you weren't told, but that we have a understanding and expectation of how we are to conduct ourselves. We are a holy people set apart in this world, but not of this world. And we just want to walk in the ways of the Most High. Can't do that if we don't know what they are. So I'm trying not to leave anything to guessing. Try not to leave anything to anything but the word of the Most High. Don't want to teach my opinion. Only want to teach what thus saith Yah Elohim, and that's the standard I'm going to go by, and that's the standard I'm going to hold you to.
Amen.
And that's the standard I want you to hold me to. So on Thursday, the business meeting is still the bylaw review, it is also the opportunity that I take to, this is how the body is going to behave associated with this ministry. It is all in accordance with the word of the Most High. We have to be it. We can't be what? Hearers of the word only, we have to be what?
Doers as well.
Doers.
Amen. Doers of the word. With that being said, peace and blessing of the Most High. You guys up there in the north where it is frigid cold. They want
I know.
Yeah, that's just crazy cold. I just... Mm-mm. It get down to 85 and I'm freezing, so I ain't even trying to think about what y'all going through. Be safe, keep yourself safe. And most of all, fear Yah and keep his commandments. Shalom, family.
Shalom, brother.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Without you, there's no need. I need a hand.